Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. And first, the intimations. Just a reminder of tea and coffee after the service. It's just a time to be together, so it's served up in the small hall. And the Guild AGM take place on the 12th of December, followed by preparations for Alternativity. And there's a list of the Christmas services. The Nativity here on Christmas Eve, 11:30, and 7:30 Christmas Eve at the Family Kind of Service down at Ardeer. And then here at 11:30 there's the Watch Night Service. And then Christmas morning, 10:30 down at Ardeer, a chance just to share with what's been given. I like to see folks' presents. I don't like to try and play with them because I know there can be a problem then. But I like to see what folk have been given. And then on Hogmanay, we have a joint service, a shared worship down here at 10:30. On Sunday the 31st. So these are the upcoming services. I want to add my own personal thanks to all the Livingston players as they thank everyone who helped make the pantomime a huge success. Whether you're on stage, backstage, part of the audience, your support is greatly appreciated. I just want to add my thanks and my appreciation to all that everyone did for that week. It's not just about what happened Tuesday to Friday, but actually what happens for the rest of the year and all the planning. So a lot of work gone into that, and I just want to thank everyone involved in that as well. It was really great to be there on Friday night as well, even if I did, by some strange reason, manage to end up on the stage, not looking at anyone. I have all these intimations, yeah. I have one or two more intimations. The Three Towns Carol service is 3:00 this afternoon. That's listed as all churches. It'd be great to see folk there. There won't be a discipleship group now through to end of January. There's Christmas cards there in the front side transept pew there for delivery around the parish. And there's street names and numbers listed. And is there a tick list to pick?
People just have a card with the addresses on it and take a bundle of cards.
Right, okay. Everyone got that. If you want to do that, pick up a card and take the right number of cards. That's great, thank you. I'll try and remember to remind folk at the end of the service as well. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. Let's stand and worship as the word is brought in. We move now to light our candles. And Dorothy, I can't remember if I said you were voice one or two. You'd be voice one then.
Last Sunday, we lit the first candle in our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. We light it again as we remember that Christ will come again to fulfill all of God's promises to us.
The second candle of Advent is the candle of peace, sometimes called the Bethlehem candle, to remind us of the place in which preparations were made to receive and cradle the Christ child.
Peace is a gift that we must be prepared for. God gives us the gift of peace when we turn to him in faith.
The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the Prince of Peace. Through John the Baptist and all the other prophets, God asks us to prepare our hearts so that he may come in.
Our hope is in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our peace is found in him. We light this candle today to remind us that he brings peace to all who trust in him.
Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the peace you give us through Jesus. Help us prepare our hearts to receive him. Bless our worship. Guide us in all that we say and do. And we ask that in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him now. Prepare him room in heaven and nature sing. Let's worship him. Joy to the world. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we praise you for this season of Advent, this time of preparation, of thanksgiving, of challenge and reflection. Open our hearts to all you would say to us now and help us to listen. We praise you that in fulfillment of your eternal purpose, you came to our world in Christ, revealing the extent of your love, showing us the way to life, allowing us to know you for ourselves. We praise you that you came again in Christ to his disciples after his resurrection, bringing joy where there had been sorrow, hope where there had been despair, and faith where there had been doubt. And we praise you that through your Holy Spirit you make Christ real to us each day, filling us with his power, his peace, and his love. We praise you too for the promise that Christ will come again to establish his kingdom, to begin a new era, to bring us and all your people life everlasting. Loving God, forgive us that so easily we lose sight of the message of Advent, allowing its wonder to be swamped by our busy preparations for Christmas, by concerns which are so often unimportant, by our carelessness and disobedience in discipleship. Forgive us that we forget your promises, we frustrate your spirit, we lose sight of your love. Meet with us, we pray, through this time of worship, through your living word, through the fellowship we share, and through the risen Christ. Open our hearts to all you would say to us now. Help us to listen, so we may we truly celebrate the advent of your Son and be equipped to serve him better, to the glory of your name. And in the words of Jesus, hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our debts. We give our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the glory forever. Amen.
Chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. This is a moment of reflection, really, just to think about that point of taking time to glorify God, which is what Mary was doing, just in her response. And you know, it strikes me that we can glorify God and just, it's about how we do what we do when we do his things, and for us there's things that then that come out of that. I want to just to see if I can get a wee game going here with a small pencil, and I'm just going to pick on some people. I'll start with you, Wilson. Great, thank you. You were actually a circle. Oh, but that's perfect. You see, that's perfect, you see, because I didn't tell. It was easy. It wasn't as easy to work out for Wilson, but you know, when we make a mistake, Sometimes we need a rubber for really big mistakes. So thank you very much for reading the script. But you know, we sometimes just have to, or we want to, we make mistakes and we want to just kind of rub them out and get rid of them and see if we can, because you know, there's times when we all make mistakes and we all want to kind of go back to a point where the mistake had yet to be made, so we couldn't make it again. But you know, that thing about a relationship with God and what he does for us means that we don't need a rubber for really big mistakes, because Jesus comes to bring forgiveness to us. That in our lives, that when we try and glorify God, that we don't always get it right. But you know, that he comes beyond, behind us and around us, and forgives us our mistakes and enables us to kind of go back to a point and move on. So as we glorify the Lord in all we do, we see how Mary does that today. Let's just take a moment in prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn for the month. Father, we thank you that you bring us your Son, who earned us forgiveness. As we glorify you, it's not because he forgives us, it's because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we sing our hymn for the month, From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable, by the Spirit and a Virgin's Faith. To the anguish and shame of scandal came the Saviour of the human race. They will know that they have a prophet among them, whether they listen or whether in their rebelliousness they refuse to listen. Let's pray. Almighty God, you sent your servant John the Baptist to prepare your people to welcome the Messiah. Inspire the ministers and stewards of your truth to turn our disobedient hearts to you, that when the Christ shall come again to be our judge, we may stand with confidence before his glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's Son, cleansing our souls from all their sin, pouring your love and goodness in Jesus, our love for you, we sing, living Lord. Let's worship him. Let's pray. Father, may your Spirit be present amongst us. May he dwell in and around us. May he open us to your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. As we now start to work our way through Advent, this song of praise and song of joy starts to speak again into us. And it's appropriate today that we take that wee bit of time to think about Mary, who she was and what she did. And that's just to think more about what God's work in this world is. What was it that he was doing? What is it that he's doing now? And how does he accomplish that? And how does that leave us as followers, as disciples? We shared the hope, the certainty of Christ's hope, God's hope, and his promises last week. And today we begin to look a bit more about what peace means for us in that, and what God's peace is. And then look at that kind of idea of the intervention that God brings into the world, what he was doing then and what he does for us now. But first of all, we look at Mary, this woman, this girl, who was betrothed to Joseph. She was engaged to him. And at that point, living a life, not quite in marriage, but not quite on her own, but with expectations of the community around her. Things that should not happen, which included becoming pregnant. And so whatever God was doing here, he was already doing something different in a community whose expectations were set in a particular way of living. So God intervenes in all that. He comes into all that and makes changes. But he doesn't just pick on Mary as somebody who was there and that'll do. She'll do. As if she's the only one that's around. No, this has been more than that. Because there's so many prophecies around this birth story of what's going to happen, that these prophecies are pointing out what's happening. And even with Mary, the prophecy that she fulfills is here in Isaiah at chapter 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So there right away is a prophecy of the virgin and the birth and the naming of the boy. And you know, it's not just, again, as I say, about it's just Mary. It's not, God's not just chosen her at random. But actually when the angel, the Lord, goes to speak to her, appears before her, he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." You are highly favoured. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, you will call him Jesus. But you have found favour with God." Noah had found favour with God. We look in the Old Testament, we see so many characters who have found favour with God. And we see that, you know, like there's people who have found favour with God. That is a blessing from God. That's a somebody that God has looked upon and is blessed. In the Hebrew, I think the verb is hin. And it's about that finding God finding favour and the blessing on the individual. So Mary has been seen to be the right person. Through his work, his intervention, she's also at the right place with Joseph. Because these things are not random. God has put them together. Mary has fulfilled the prophecy. She's in the right place. She has found favor with the Lord. And she is the one who will carry the Son of God. You know, in all that, I suppose there must have been some sort of sense of chaos of what on earth is going on. What will other people say? How will they look at this? How will they take this? What about Joseph? What will he say? There's anything in many ways except a sense of peace. And yet, after the angel has spoken, Mary replies, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary submits to all. May I be I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She submits to all that. And for me, that's a start of a sign of peace, a state of peace. Because a state of peace is not just about being still or being content or being rested or just knowing that things are all right. It's actually much more than that. The word shalom actually means and speaks about a wholeness as well as a peace, but a wholeness, a completeness. So actually what we're starting to do is to build up this picture of if we're in the state of shalom, then everything's right. Everything's complete. Everything's whole. And here for Mary, I begin to see this idea that she's in the right place with God. I am the Lord's servant. She's in the right place. May your word to me be fulfilled. She's in the right relationship and she's submitted to the authority of the Lord. And she's in a state of peace. And you know, it doesn't matter what comes your way when you're in that state of peace, of wholeness and of completeness. When you're there, then everything is right. Everything is together. And as we read through scriptures concerning Mary, when you have a look at these, sometimes you get the idea that she's maybe not fully understanding what God is wanting to do or has been doing, but she's following anyway. She maybe doesn't fully understand it. She maybe doesn't see the end point and get to that point, but she follows anyway. And that too is a sense of peace. But she's clearly a woman of reflection because Scripture says that Mary took note of all the things that she saw happening and kept them to herself. An idea of storing them up. Whether it's to store them up as the memories because she knew something else was going to happen, or whether it's just her storing them up because this was God in action. And our song that was read for us this morning, our song brings us into a different place as well. That song of praise, of glory to God, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been minded of the humble state of his servant. My soul glorifies the Lord. So instantly she's gone into that position of glorifying God, giving him all the glory. My spirit, my real in-depth feeling rejoices, not just in God, but recognizing God, my Savior. This idea of salvation, for he's been minded of the humble state of his servant. And then a song goes on. But a song brings us to another point. A song brings us to a point where it's a point of revolution. Where we know already that Jesus turned things around, turned things upside down. He turned that world. When we follow, we are transformed. But Jesus was doing what people didn't expect to be done. And it was against the culture. And actually, when we look now, Jesus still acts and calls us to act against the culture of the world. But in terms of this revolution that this song brings, first of all, it's a moral revolution. He scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. So actually, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about what I think of myself, it's not about what you think of yourself. Paul writes in Romans, do not regard yourself too highly, because that pride and proudness within our hearts are the thing that's going to scatter us. So instantly, things are turned around. It's no longer about how I want to be treated, but how I treat others. It's no longer about how you want to be treated, but it's how you treat others. It's a change. It's a change. And that leads us to that commandment to love our neighbour. To love the Lord your God and to love our neighbour. But that moral revolution, seen at times through the Old Testament, and Mary picking up on that and using these words, he scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. It's a social revolution as well. It's a social revolution because it says he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. So this whole idea is those who are lifted up, those who are rulers, and in their thrones, the ones will be brought down. This is society turning itself. And people who put themselves up will be brought down, but God will lift the humble. And again, it's that words from Mary, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. We're called to be humble. And the focus is on us to be humble. To know that God loves us, to love him, but to love others. So there's a moral revolution, there's a social revolution. And then he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. That economic revolution just changes things. It changes how we approach the world. It changes how God sees people. The rich young man who said to Jesus, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said, go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. And then follow me. That rich young man was seeking. He was empty. He was seeking eternal life. He was empty. He was seeking eternal life. And he wanted to know how that would happen. And Jesus said, you need to sell everything. You need to give it all away to the poor, to those who need it. You need to give it all away. And then come and follow me. But his hands were so full with everything that he had, he didn't want to let go of any of that. And although that man had all that stuff, he went away empty. Went away empty. And we live in a world, in an economy, which seems to need food banks more and more. At a time, it just seemed that it was those who just didn't get enough in the way of benefits or just couldn't get quite enough money that needed it. But now we begin to see there's people who are working and with family whose wages have not kept up with today's living, and they just don't get enough money even though they're working, and they turn to food banks. That whole idea of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, that seems to be increasing more than decreasing. The line between the rich and the poor seems to be getting wider and wider and wider, and nothing seems to happen other than we fight over whether food banks are necessary. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. It's our prayer, obviously, that those who receive the gifts that we've brought this morning don't actually know who we are, and praise us for that. It'd be our prayer that they would just see God's hand in all that they were receiving. That's our humility, our humble approach, is these things are from us. They're gifts back from what we've got from God. But we're not searching and seeking the thanks and the adulation for giving. We give because that's what we're called to do in this economic revolution. So that change that comes for us and with us and around us, spoken about in Mary's story, and yet sits within that whole idea of shalom. If we're in the right place with God, we'll do the right things of God, and that will give us peace despite what else is going on around us. There's times when we can feel under attack, bombarded with stuff, but you know, if we're in the right place with God and sitting in the right way, we can do as Mary did and sing a praise song of praise and joy and give thanks for his shalom and around us, where we are complete with him. And within that peace comes the knowledge that God won't give us anything that we can't manage with him. That's the way it was with Mary. Mary was there to help. God was there to help Mary. He didn't give her anything she couldn't manage on her own. And that's where we look at that with that sense of peace. As we get to know God through Jesus more and more as being that follower, that disciple, then we become further into that state of peace, of shalom. It develops. We get to know what it's like. We get to feel it. And we get to crave it in our lives. But it starts with Mary's song. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Amen. And we continue to worship him in our offering. As we turn to a prayer of dedication and prayer for others, shall we remember our own prayers, the prayers that we've seen up in the prayer tree, the prayers that are around us and within us. We also share in the things of joy and God's faithfulness to us, that He, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow, and remains with us. And from the Crossreach prayer diary, pray for Daisy Chain's early years project in Glasgow. This uses play-based interventions to improve the lives and life chances of children under 8. It also provides support to parents, giving them advice and opportunities to grow. From the Adrossan Presbytery prayer diary, we pray for retired ministers in Presbytery. Give thanks for the work that they do, for the work that they have done, what they continue to do, and the support that they are in ministry. As we turn to things of concern, obviously one of the things we've seen this week is the situation of violence returning in the Middle East following the US President's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and the tension that's now being caused around the Middle East and around the world by this announcement. We see the world still in that tension, and would long to see peace throughout the world. So it's for us to continue to pray for peace. We pray too for those who might be caught in and amongst all the snow and the cold conditions, particularly those much further north where there's significantly more snow and more challenges to overcome through that. So we keep them in our prayers as well. And we pray for those who would receive the gifts that we've brought forward, and as I said earlier, that they would see them as a return of God's favour on them, that they would know God's touch through them. And so we pray for those who receive the gifts that we brought. Let's join together in thanksgiving and for others. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this glad time of year, this Advent season, which reminds us of so much and which reveals so wonderfully the extent of your love. And so we thank you for your coming and coming again in Christ. Father, this is a time for looking back and remembering the birth of your Son, light into darkness. a time for looking forward and anticipating his coming again as he returns to establish your kingdom and rule in your name. But above all, a time for the present moment, for examining our lives, searching our hearts, exploring your word, renewing our faith. A time for recognizing more fully that Jesus is with us each moment of every day, now and always. Loving God, you came to our world in humility, born of Mary in a stable. You'll come once more in glory through the risen and ascended Christ. You are with us now, even as we speak, here through your Holy Spirit, making Jesus real. We praise you, the great truth of Advent. Father God, we praise you once again for this season, for its mood of expectation, its message of hope, its call to prepare ourselves, its spirit of confidence and trust. We praise you for the way you have spoken in the fulfillment of ancient prophecies and promises yet to be realized and in the living presence of God made known through his Holy Spirit. Touch our lives again at this time as we remember the coming of Jesus, as we anticipate his coming again, and as we strive to serve him better here and now. Grant that through this time we shall be renewed in hope and strengthened in faith, trusting more completely in the future you hold. May our confidence be deepened in your eternal love and purpose, despite all that seems to work against it. And may we be ready to welcome Christ in the assurance that he came, so he shall come again. And Father, we pray for peace in our world, an end to division and discord, an end to hatred and hostility, an end to death and destruction. We speak of peace, but in our hearts we do not believe it. When we look at our world, we see little hope of an end to its troubles. We are skeptical, uncertain, filled with doubts, cautious about expressing any opinion. And even when there are signs of hope, moves towards reconciliation, we know it will take many years before we dare believe it is really possible. But we pray in this season you would renew our ability to look forward, rekindle our belief in the future, and restore our capacity to hope for better things. Teach us to work for that day when your throne will be established, your justice prevail, and the earth be filled with the knowledge of you as the waters cover the sea. And Father, we pray for each one here, those on our left and our right, those in front of us and behind us, those seated above us and those seated below us, and those in another part of this building. Prince of Peace, hear our prayer. For your name's sake. Amen. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice. Let's worship. Heavenly Father, as you send us from this place, may we be your servants. May your word to us be fulfilled, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Stay standing as the word is taken from this place as we sing, may God's blessing surround you each day.